on this week's big story. For the first time on British domestic television, a broadcaster launches an expose into the cozy and some say uncomfortable relationship between British politics and the pro-Israel lobby. The decision to screen this program did not go unnoticed.
Is that this is such an all-powerful lobby? You know, where's the proof of it?
The Israeli lobby is promoting a racist, nationalist, expansionist ideology.
Criticism of Israel has increased in Britain because, in a way, it embarrasses Britain.
If there's a Jewish lobby, a lot of people are wasting a lot of money.
Critics of the pro-Israel lobby, their relationship with the politicians is one thing. But what is perhaps more frightening is, if polls are to be believed, the conservatives with whom the pro-Israel lobby have the most cozy relationship might just form the majority here in the next general elections.
Any future British conservative government would be disproportionately influenced by the pro-Israel lobby. This was the claim of a major documentary on Channel 4, one of the UK's top domestic broadcasters. The Dispatch's programme entitled Inside Britain's Israel Lobby, presented by journalist and columnist Peter Auburn, established the existence of a well-connected, well-funded organisation operating primarily through parliamentary channels.
But take out the battery.
Chief amongst these was the Conservative Friends of Israel, or CFI. According to the Dispatch's programme, at least 50% of the shadow cabinet were members of CFI, with sources close to the organisation claiming at least 80% of Conservative MPs were CFI members. The Jewish population in the United Kingdom is thought to be some 270,000, making it one of the smallest in terms of numbers, but according to public and estimated figures, CFI has donated nearly $17 million to the Conservative Party since 2001. The fear is, as well as domestic influence, foreign policy decisions could rest on this level of patronage. It's the idea of a foreign power having direct access to the corridors of British government that sits uneasily with MP George Galloway.
Auburn's voice cannot be ignored. He is, as I say, one of the most senior journalists in Britain. And what he has apparently uncovered is a network of support that is being woven inside the British Conservative Party by the Friends of Israel, to the extent that even David Cameron's office itself has been infiltrated and is being partly financed by people whose actual agenda is to ensure that Israel's interests rather than Britain's interests are secured.
Whilst the existence of the pro-Israel lobby comes as a surprise to few, it is their scope, reach and political implication of bias that worries many. With Britain continuing to play a role in the Middle East politics and its aftermath, the idea that any UK government would come to the negotiating table, serving the interests of any one side so blatantly, would be a political disaster. But this is exactly what is possible if the Dispatch's claims hold true. Already, Shadow Foreign Secretary William Hague was censored by a senior CFI member and Conservative Party donor who objected to Hague's referral to Israel's use of force against Lebanon in the 2006 war as disproportionate. During Israel's bombardment of Gaza this year, the Conservatives were silent, and only weeks ago William Hague called on Britain to reject the Goldstone report on Gaza. The current Labour government did not escape criticism, with Labour Friends of Israel coming in for special mention. The chief election fundraiser for Gordon Brown has boasted that former Prime Minister and current Middle East peace envoy Tony Blair was a constant fixture at LFI meetings. With the media fallout from the Dispatches programme still in full swing, some are asking, why is it still taboo to question the uncomfortable relationship between the corridors of British power and the interest of Israel?
Now, was it a brave decision for UK domestic broadcaster to screen a programme on the Israel lobby and its influence on British politics?
I think it was a brave measure, just because it's not one that's discussed extensively. I think it was an important one, actually, to have aired on TV, because the British public should understand the lobbies that are trying to influence their parliament. And while one argues that there are many lobbies that try and influence parliament, the distinction primarily between the Israeli one and many other lobbies is that it's lobbying for a foreign power, for a foreign state. And the British public deserve to know how that operates and the relations between that state and their parliament.
And this is a position supported by Gilad Atzmon, who describes himself as a former Israeli.
I agree, and it is... It was a very courageous move, and I think that it is never too late to expose the truth, especially when this truth cost so much life, both Palestinians, but it's not only Palestinians, the clumsy handling of British politics and British foreign affairs in the last decade, at least, is totally influenced by all those friends of Israel that found a place into the three leading parties in these countries. I think that it is never too late to stop evil.
There would be the argument that because the Jewish lobby is organized, doesn't mean we should single them out for criticism. After all, there are lobby groups for banana farmers from South America, for people wanting to sell their wine from Italy. Why is it that the Israeli lobby gets that extra bit of scrutiny?
Or it is very simple. I think that the answer is very, very simple. The Israeli lobby is promoting a racist, nationalist, expansionist ideology.
Well, they are effective. To what extent compared to other lobby groups? There are lobby groups for arms, there are lobby groups for various economic interests. But again, as I said, the distinction between the Israeli lobby and let's say one of predominantly economic interest is it's trying to ensure that the interests of another state are met by lobbying and trying to influence British politics and British parliaments and MPs in the British parliament. So that distinction makes it quite significant, and it's one that the British public need to be fully aware of and understand.
And just what do the British public make of the relationship between lobby groups and politicians? Well, we took to the streets to find out.
Would you vote for a political party knowing they have been financially supported by the Israel lobby?
I think most parties at the moment are financially supported by the Israel lobby. Labour, Conservative, they've all got some sort of relationship with the Israel lobby. Depends to what extent.
No, I don't think I would vote for a party that's part-funded by a press, by an Israeli press lobby.
Yes, I would. I think they're a very noble party, you know, and their cause is honourable, I think, anyway. So yes, I would vote for them.
No, I wouldn't personally. I don't like any sort of financial backing that puts too much pressure on a particular party personally. I think that happens in America already, and the implications are never good.
I think at the moment, politically, I don't support what Israel's doing in Palestine.
Would you view the political lobby differently if MPs were found to be heavily funded by, say, a pro-Palestinian lobby?
I wouldn't change my view. I don't think that the MPs should be funded by anybody.
It's down to the policies of the party, and if they live up to their promises of the policies and they deliver on them,
I would look at it in the same light in a sense, just because any sort of pressure on either side wouldn't be particularly good. Although I have to say, a personal opinion of mine is that it's quite unfair on the Palestinians on a lot of things that are going on around at the moment. So I personally would be more pro that side than I would for the Israeli lobby, just purely because there's so much influence on that side, on the Israeli side already.
Are you comfortable with the level of influence lobby groups have over major media organizations like the BBC and The Guardian?
What we have here is, in this country, we tend to seem to enjoy politics and media to be as independent as possible. However, we know that funding does affect political groups and media opinion, and then that affects public opinion. So I think the more independent the media and political groups can be, the better. And I think that's why there's a larger shift towards more independent parties and more independent news organizations.
My belief is that you can't believe everything that the news tells you, because I believe there's a lot more that goes on, obviously, under the surface.
Yeah, I mean, there's a book about this, Can We Trust the BBC? And that goes into the same sort of thing about how this lot of stuff which is passed off as facts and information usually is just, you know, propaganda half the time.
Now, of course, there are going to be those individuals out there who say you're an angry, bitter man who's been let down by your former country. What are your reactions to that?
I'm definitely angry.
And I think several others in the community have argued is that this is such an all-powerful lobby. You know, where's the proof of it? We've just seen David Miliband, the foreign secretary, not vote at all on the Goldstone report, either at the UN HRC or at the General Assembly. He's being excoriated. I mean, my own column in the Jewish press and the Jewish news this week is tearing David Miliband apart. And quite frankly, though I didn't get a chance, I think, in my own column this week, I don't think the conservative position is all that much stronger. He's bringing out the fact that Haig, the days after the Goldstone report, came up with a statement saying we don't think it's fair, as if you know, suddenly this, you know, cabal was this meeting in the House of Commons and he was instructed what to say. I felt his position wasn't strong at all. So, you know, if there's a Jewish lobby, a lot of people are wasting a lot of money.
This topic was considered such a political hot potato that when I did interviews with people off the record, they would freely talk to me about their ideas, about the fallout of this program, and what they felt was perhaps missing or needed to be added. But when I asked for on-camera interviews, one journalist said to me, frankly, Amina, it's not worth my job. Supporters of the Israel lobby have accused the filmmakers of targeting Israel in another one-sided piece. Here's a little of what the press made of those accusations. The reaction to the documentary on the pro-Israel lobby and its influence on British politics prompted a barrage of criticism of both the filmmakers and the subject matter. David Tesserini, writing in The Guardian, called the documentary a shallow polemic. Dennis McShane on the Indie Eagle Eye site went further. He said this was a return to 1930s-style prejudice. And the group at the heart of the Dispatches program, CFI, speaking to the Jerusalem Post, denied the sums mentioned in the show and called the program deeply flawed. Critics have accused the filmmakers of bias and accused them of targeting the Israel lobby unfairly.
I watched it and I felt very disappointed. I went into it with as much of a non-biased view as I could take, and I really just found that there was nothing there. I mean, it was a waste of an hour as far as I was concerned personally. He was taking very trite things and trying to blow them up into something that wasn't there. It was sensationalist. The journalism was shoddy. There was no case to be made. He was having to sensationalize this because I think there was really nothing there.
The relationship between lobby groups and politicians is not unique to Britain. After all, groups like AIPAC wield significant influence in the United States.
The lobby in both your country and ours is very, very strong and very skilled, very well organized, and obviously Obern program very, very well financed. The main Israel lobby organizations in the United States, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, this is the main lobby organization. There are many others. The whole organized American Jewish community and all its organizations really make up the lobby entirely. But AIPAC is the main organization, and it quite openly proposes legislation in Congress and works with congressmen to write legislation on issues that concern Israel, obviously having principally to do with aid to Israel, but on other issues as well. And the influence on U.S. Foreign policy throughout the Middle East, and particularly with regard to Israel directly, is just amazing.
But can the Israel lobby be blamed for having its interests so clearly defined? Writer, broadcaster, and columnist Charlie Wolfe thinks not.
I think that the Jewish community, as the Muslim community, the Turkish community, the hunting fraternity, all have a right to address their concerns. And maybe in certain parts of the Jewish community is a little better organized than others. Well, you know, more power to their elbow, as they say.
And I just had to ask the Christensens whether the American situation served as a warning to UK lawmakers or potential voters.
Absolutely right, but also it would be of greatest value if somehow we could persuade a major U.S. television network to carry this program from this end, because the program really could have been duplicated in every single respect here in the United States, details somewhat different, but coming out in the same direction.
The program and just the phenomenon certainly is a warning to legislators in the UK, but the fact that the program was broadcast also is a very good sign in terms of liberating them from this the clutches of this kind of influence. The taboo has been lifted, at least to a great extent, and I think that gives them, hopefully, should give them greater courage to resist the financial importunings of the lobbyists.
Will a documentary like the Dispatches piece actually open the door for other filmmakers who want to explore this conversation, who want to further investigate this idea?
I think it's been opened, not just because of this, just because the times are changing. The massacre on Gaza in January this year has really changed attitude towards Israel amongst the public in Britain. Criticism is a lot more open now, in particular in the academic circles. The kind of lectures that are taking place in academia and the speakers that are being invited. I think there is a change, and the wave is changing to the positive. This is an issue that concerns British people as well as people in the Arab world, and British people have the right to debate this, especially when it influences their political system.
Will this documentary actually spark the beginning of a new way of thinking for a lot of UK domestic broadcasters? Is it time that some of the old taboos were cast aside and investigations thoroughly done into workings of organizations like the pro-Israel lobby? Will other broadcasters follow Channel 4's lead and actually show some initiative, a little bit of guts? And above all, will this controversy shame politicians into realizing that it is actually the domestic interests of their constituents that weigh supreme, and not trying to carry out a political agenda for foreign power? Well, there really is only one way to find out. It's by staying with us here on Press TV on The Big Story, where we bring you the most talked about story, the most important story every week. Join us soon.